previous year, that's been a couple of weeks, but still the previous year, we left off talking about the obligation of Tevila. We started out with the question that Rishon raised, how do you know that in order for a woman to become Tahora, she has to go to the mikvah? Obviously, that's a din, no question. Mishnah is Gemara, the portion of Ma'od that a woman has to go to the mikvah, but it doesn't say it explicitly in the Torah Shabbat. So we saw a few different sources in the Rishonim as to where that has out figured this out from. Either it's based in the Kavachamet, Rosh, Apostle, something or other, but in all the dust settles, there's no question that that's, of course, what has to happen. I think at the very end of the Shabbat, we point out Rabbi Chanan makes the observation that all of the sources that the Rishonim quote are really all addressing the issue of Tumas Midah. How do you know that a woman loses her Tumah? Doesn't lose her Tumah until going to the mikvah. How do you know that going to the mikvah impacts the Issel Abayel as well? Rabbi Chanan says that's like a milsa de pshita, that's a given, that the Tumah and the Issel actually go hand in hand. So we pointed out that's not so poshut, that we've seen throughout our study of Hilchos Nidah that there are some cases that may exist that may point out to one. There may be certain scenarios where a woman could be Temeah and Muteres, Tahora and Asura, do it not necessarily tell us ever that. So we're not exactly sure what the source for this bit is, but again, it's a milsa de pshita, that's not a question. Obviously, there's a different term that a woman has to go to the mikvah. It's not enough just to count the date, she has to go to the mikvah as well. So it's with this background that the Gemara raises a question, which is really not even a Hilchos Nidah question, it's really more of a Tefillah B'mikvah question, which actually touches on yesterday's Kriyas Torah, next week's Kriyas Torah. Whenever you have situations where a person is supposed to go to the mikvah, do we say that Tevilah B'zman a mitzvah? Or do we say Tevilah B'zman a lav mitzvah? Do we say that it's a mitzvah? Like putting you're supposed to put on tefillah, supposed to shake a lulut, supposed to eat matzah, when a certain zman comes, so you're supposed to perform that mitzvah. So too, once a person has the ability to go to the mikvah, so Tevilah B'zman a mitzvah, they're supposed to be going to the mikvah, supposed to be going to the mikvah at the soonest possible moment. What do I say? No, the Tevilah B'zman is lav mitzvah. If a person wants to go, that's great. They become tamei. And for whatever reason, they want to remain tamei. So they remain tamei. There's nothing wrong with remaining tamei. That's a running machlokes at Tanoim, in Masechet Yuma, Shabbos, where the tefillah b'zmana is a mitzvah, where the tefillah b'zmana is lav mitzvah. That machlokes impacts not only married women, that machlokes impacts single girls as well. If you would really hold the tefillah b'zmana mitzvah, if you really, really accept that view to the extreme, the tefillah b'zmana mitzvah, what it would mean is, any and every time a person becomes tamei, if once they have the opportunity to become tamei, they have to act upon it, they have to go to the mikvah. That would mean that even a single girl would have to go to the mikvah, because she's going to the mikvah not to be with her husband, there's no husband, she's not married. She's going to the mikvah to affect the status of becoming Tahora. So if you would really, really accept that view, then you would insist that all girls go to the mikvah, even non-married women would have to go to the mikvah because of the mitzvah of Tefillah B'zmana mitzvah. So we happen not to really accept that view. We accept the view that Tefillah B'zmana is in fact lav mitzvah, which basically means that if a person is not in a big rush to become tahor, don't become tahor. You don't have to go run to become tahor. That's why there's no chiyuv for married women to go to the mikvah, for not married women to go to the mikvah. Not only is there no chiyuv, but forget the opposite is true. The Ravash writes in the tshuva that they became an accepted practice in Klal Yisrael that single girls, in fact, don't go to the mikvah. The reason why is for obvious reasons. That we're afraid that if a single girl start getting into the practice and going to the mikvah, it's going to lead to a mikshol, it's going to lead to a stumbling block, because people are going to start to develop the attitude, well, it's not so bad to be together before marriage. After all, I don't need that anyway. So it's not a sukkaris. That's right. That's right. It's not a sukkaris. There are other Yisurim, it's called the Pani of Ola Penuya, where a single girl starts to be together with somebody. It's a different problem. According to the Rav, as long as it's a lav in the Torah, they'll see a kadesha. According to others, it's a essay of kikachishish, whatever. There are multiple reasons, but there are isis and there are buttons why a woman's not permitted to be with somebody until she's actually married to him. But the most severe of all these sort is the issue of need, the issue of chores. Rivash writes, that's obvious, that applies whether she's married or whether she's single. So in the days of the Rivash, there were actually some girls or some men who had this cheshbin, that they wanted to be do not appropriate things with single girls, and they encouraged the girls to go to the mikvah, because they were worried about issur chores. The other issur, the other things that didn't bother them too much, but issur chores they're very nervous about. So there used to be a practice that there were some people who would have the single girls go to the mikvah. So the Rivash writes that that's terrible, we have to stop that. And it became an accepted Kabbalah's Klal Yisrael that single girls do not go to the mikvah. Even though in theory it would solve the Issachar's problem, but it would create a whole culture of a whole series of other problems. So therefore, in the Mikvah, we don't permit such a thing. I think we spoke about in the past that sometimes mikvahs today have challenges. that sometimes a single girl comes to the mikvah lady knows that she's not married. She knows exactly why she's going to the mikvah. She's not going to fulfill tefillah b'zman mitzvah. She's not going to touch tara. She's not going to eat korbes. She's going to the mikvah because she wants to do inappropriate things, but she feels a little bit guilty, so she feels it would minimize. She's right. It does minimize the issur. So the question is, what the standard of the mikvah should be? Should we allow such things or not? Obviously, we can't encourage such things. Obviously, we can't advertise such things. But do we have to stop a single girl from using the mikvah? That's a tricky question that touches on, you know, the general issues of public policy versus, you know, how much are we going to, you know, encourage people to do less of eras at the expense of public policy. That's already a very, very complicated halachic / public policy type of a decision. But the starting point is that we don't permit, that we would never ever encourage, we try to dissuade single girls from using the mikvah. But if you would have held the other opinion, if we would have held that tefillah b'zman mitzvah, then that would have been the right thing to do. We would have insisted that all the girls use the mikvah even when they're not married. So we clearly paskin that tefillah b'zman is lav mitzvah. Nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch, if you take a look at page 34, the Shulchan Aruch, number 4, has a very, very unique formulation of this halacha. Shulchan Aruch writes in the 4th of the Ramah Kotos, on the bottom, page 34, in your day, Simon Kutzari Zayt. In Baila Ba'ir, if a woman's husband is in town, mitzvah litvol bezmana, so she has a mitzvah to be tovelas right away, shelo levata b'priva rivya, afilu layla achas. In order to be able to do the husband right away, not to miss even one possible night. We know from world of biology that the window of opportunity for a woman to become pregnant is very, very, very small. She can 24, 36 hours maximum of when she can potentially become a pregnant based on her time of ovulation. So if a woman misses that night because she's not interested in different night, she's busy, she's doing something else, she's tired, so she may very well lose out the opportunity to become pregnant.
The lashon is kasha because he's saying shalom levata perio virya. The mitzvah is on him, not on her. So levatel the mitzvah as a
Right, okay, very good, excellent. So we're going to see in a minute what the Shulchan Aruch means with that law. So what's startling about the Shulchan Aruch is that he starts out by saying mitzvah litvah bezmana, which is almost misleading, which is almost a throwback to the opinion in the Gemara that tefillah bezmana mitzvah. So if the Shulchan Aruch would have just stopped and said mitzvah litvah bezmana, he would have said, what? He passes like that other shita. We should get all the single girls to go to the mikvah now. So the answer is the Shulchan Aruch borrowed the phrase, but is using it in a very, very different way than Chazal used it. When Chazal used the phrase tefillah b'zmana mitzvah, mitzvah litzvah b'zmana, they meant as an independent mitzvah, nothing to do with pregnancy, nothing to do with children, nothing to do with husbands. There's a mitzvah litzvah b'zmana. What the Shulchan Aruch is basically saying is that tefillah b'zmana is lav mitzvah. Even though he says tefillah b'zmana mitzvah, what he really means to say is that tefillah b'zmana is lav mitzvah. The only thing is that there's a new mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch is talking about a different mitzvah, not the Gemara's mitzvah tefillah b'zmana. Shulchan Aruch is talking about the mitzvah per rivya. Now, Henry is correct that the real mitzvah per rivya is really only on the man, but the woman has a certain connection to that mitzvah. In a slightly different way, we spoke about this in some of the Tuesday night shiur earlier in the Yun shiur, beginning of the second Berak Kedushin, the Gemara says that when a woman gets married, so it's not right that she should just send a representative to the wedding. She should show up herself. Technically speaking, she can appoint a shaliach, and the shaliach can accept the condition for her. So the Gemara says it's not right to do that. Why? Mitzvah b'yosu b'shulucha. Because she's supposed to do mitzvahs herself. It's not nice to appoint shalichim. I'm supposed to do b'dikas chametz. I'm supposed to do kiddush. I'm supposed to be ma'afas shu. I'm supposed to do things myself. If I, for whatever reason, I can't do it, then I send the shalich. But the chadchil is supposed to do mitzvahs on their own. It's a greater demonstration of love and care for mitzvahs. So the Ran, in the beginning of the Kiddush, is Ba'al of the Kash, he says, why is there a mitzvah by Yosef B'shulucha for a woman? What's the great mitzvah to get married? The Ran says, the mitzvah of getting married is al-shame to getting having children. So she does not mechuyavis. The mitzvah of having children is given to the man, not to the woman. So why does the Gemara insist that the woman should come to the wedding? Why do you say, she doesn't have a mitzvah anyway, let her just send the shaliach to do it. So the Ran says, even though she doesn't have an absolute chiyuv to have children, she does have an obligation to assist her husband in his chiyuvim. So when she gets married, and she stands on the chuppah, she gets married, and she tries to help him fulfill his obligation, so she's doing a great mitzvah. It's a great mitzvah of participation. It's a secondary participation in his mitzvah of having children. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch here, I'm not so sure that he was so medayek in his lashon shel levata b'riv, you're right, that she doesn't technically have the mitzvah, it's really his. Nevertheless, the two of them together should make sure that she goes to the mikvah time. So that's how we paskin halacha. So you ask somebody, how do we paskin? Do we paskin tefillah b'zman mitzvah or not? So the question depends what you mean by that statement. If you mean that tefillah was not a mitzvah of chazal, that you have to go to the mikveh even if you're not married, that we don't postulate. If you mean that you have to go to the mikveh in order to have children as soon as possible, that the answer is we do. That's how we do, in fact, the postulate. Because of this halacha, therefore, the Poskim point out that what if a couple is not going to be together that night? Why they're not going to be together that night? He's out of town. She's out of town. When the schedule worked out, he's not going to be back for another 3 days. So let's say if Halel tefillah is Tuesday night, and he's away for the whole week, he's not going back till Friday morning anyway. So then, why does she have to run to the mikveh Tuesday night? If you would have held that tefillah is not a mitzvah, there's a chiyuv, there's an obligation, the first moment's notice to become tahor, you have to become tahor. Doesn't matter whether she's married, whether she's single, doesn't matter if the husband is in town, out of town, she has to go to the mikveh. But since the Shulchan Aruch formulates it by saying, Shalom Levata, the whole purpose of going to the mikveh on time is to enable them to have children. If he's not here anyway, so why should he run to the mikveh? That's how we pass kids. If the husband's out of town, she doesn't have to go Tuesday night. She wants to go Wednesday, Thursday, go whenever, whatever is convenient for her.
Why are we not concerned that she's in check? I mean, his mind is that there's no true marketing like that, but she's in the state of
turmoil.
So
no.
We don't want
her to. So we say so. So are all our young and married daughters.
But there's an opportunity to go to the mikveh, so I'm saying.
So, but I'm also in the state of Tuma. I'm Tommy Tumas Levela, Tumas Sheretz, Tumas Carrier, and so on.
No, but it's not paid the question. It's like there is a elevated status to be in front base of Mikdash.
Absolutely.
In a state of Tara. So in front base of Mikdash, when Tuma Tara is a fact, there would be a chiyuv, even though there would be a mitzvah on the mitzvah of Tefillah, there'd be a mitzvah of.
I would say 100% right. Assuming this woman, Bezmana Mikdash, is eating truma, she's eating Maisa Sheni, or she wants to be careful about eating Chula B'tahara, then absolutely we would strongly encourage her to go to the mikveh as soon as possible. But the reality is we don't have any of the above. So the same way we're not running to the mikveh, a lot of us are Tomei. But Tomei, who's running to the mikveh? Chassidim run every day to the mikveh. Most of us don't run to the mikveh every day. I'll tell you a secret. Even the Chassidim who run to the mikveh every day, they're also Tomei. Because we don't have Eifah Paraduma, so if you ever went to a Levaya, went to the basic verse, you're Tomei anyway. You live in Chutzlah, it's Tomei. Tomei Chutzlah is a Metamei, or it's an Am is Tomei. So a whole Torah doesn't make any sense anyway, Bizman is there. So again, if it's for the purpose of becoming pregnant, then we strongly encourage. If that issue is not a fact, that fact is not an issue, so then we don't care and let her go whatever she wants.
No, why don't we just say Zri's a Makdim in the mitzvah, so she should go anyway as soon as possible.
So, because it's not really that kind of a mitzvah. It's not that's what Tulum's Batala Mitzvah means, that it's not that kind of a mitzvah that warrants a necessity. So the question is, should we do it anyway, or should we dafka hold off? So, let's say the woman's due to go to Mikveh Tuesday night. Mike's the husband calls, he's in Australia, he's not going back till Friday. So what should she do? I always encourage women that, let's say they know their husband has a business trip, so you know he's going to be away for 2 weeks. So some women get a little, you know, lazy, and they say, I'm not going to bother the Catholic Shiva Kiev anyway until I know he's on the way, you know, in effect, scheduled to come back. So let's say he's scheduled to come back on Friday, and she's ready due to have Siktar already last week. So comes Tuesday, she's ready to say, what if the bother doing have Siktar? Now, I'm going to end up becoming able to go to the mikveh next Tuesday, I'm not going anyway. So I'll hold off a couple more days. What's the rush? That is a bad strategy. Why is that a bad strategy? Because plans change. The husband gets a change in the plan. She gets things happen. She comes, a lot of things happen. So a woman should always do have siktara when she's able to do so. She should count the shivri kiyam, be ready, able and ready and willing to go to the mikveh if in moments notice. So if she did all of the bedikas properly and she counted the shivri kiyam, it's Tuesday night, and he calls her up at 10 o'clock with a big surprise. He's on the plane on the way home. So she'll be able to quickly. She'll go do a chafifa, right, and go to the mikveh. She'll be able to do the terrace. If she didn't do have siktara last week, so she's going to have to day three. So she's going to disappoint everybody. So therefore, it's not a good idea. I can't say chiyavas. It's just a very, very poor idea for the woman to push off after that. But the tefillah itself, she can push off.
I don't want to belabor the point, but it goes back to Susan, I'm sure. But in general, in mitzvahs, if there's a shutas in a mitzvah, someone has, you know, a chelik to create an opportunity for mitzvah. How's that viewed halachically as the kima of the mitzvah? Someone has one part in the mitzvah, the other part, or one part agreed to do the mitzvah, the other one finishes. Like a mak and a patish of a situation. Is there a schus on the mitzvah to the person who facilitates the mitzvah, or he's totally removed from the mitzvah?
They both have, you know, the Gemara says the mikvah is nikus Hashem Gomra. that the person who finishes off the mitzvah is the one who really, really gets the schar for the mitzvah. Let the person who starts get something, for sure he gets a little bit of something.
I just want the Torah halach, basically.
So again, so we have a woman who's scheduled to go to mikvah Tuesday night. The husband calls her from Australia. He's not going back till Friday morning. So is she obligated to go to mikvah Tuesday night? No. What if she wants to? What if it just works out nicely in the schedule? She doesn't want to wait till the husband comes home. She wants to make it easy now, and she doesn't have to worry about it. He's scheduled to come home late Thursday night. So why does she have to go Thursday night? It's just tied around with the kids and it's bouncing around. Tuesday night is easier, so let her go Tuesday night. What's wrong with that? So if you look in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, that's great. That's a big deal. You're not mechuyavus to go Tuesday night, but if you want to go Tuesday night, what could possibly be wrong? So in some of the latest svarim, some of the achronim, this is not a pi halach, this is a pi kabbalah. There is an idea of pi kabbalah that some poskim had, that a woman should not go to the mikvah if the husband is not in town. That was considered to be somehow dangerous spiritually, that the woman should push it off to go wait till the husband's mom should down before she goes to the mikvah. What's that based on? It's really beyond the scope of my understanding. So the poskim have those most more of the Hasidic poskim will quote this idea from the Sefer Kabbalah. So then they have a further breakdown. Is there any way to rectify that? Is there any way somehow to avoid that problem? If she really, really wants to go, it's going to be a big hassle to wait till Thursday night when the husband's in town. She really, really wants to go Tuesday night. Is there anything she can do? So again, since this is out of the realm of halacha, some of the solutions are out of the realm of halacha as well. So some of the solutions include things like, I don't know anything about the topic, but they talk about all kind of different shadim, nices, and different chokheches, adumas, and all that kind of stuff that have to be averted if a woman goes to the mikvah early. So some of the svarim talk about that when she goes to the mikvah Tuesday night, the husband's not in town, so she should have a baby sleep in her bed next to her. So about that, yeah, this is, don't ask me any cash on this, I don't understand it. So she has a baby sleep with her, that'll somehow solve the problem. Then there are others who say, no, that she should have she should take a knife and leave a knife under her pillow, and that'll solve the problem. I always tell people who follow this, don't give either one, either the baby or the knife. Don't take the baby or the knife. Not a safe idea. So there are people who have such a, there is such an idea. There are certain Hasidic communities that have these kinds of practices. And then, in many of the Hasidic communities, they don't let the woman go to the mikvah if the husband is not around. That particular practice can sometimes cause a tremendous mikshol, cause a big problem. I kid you not, this issue exists out of Yemezeh in the mountains. It's a common, it's a phenomenon, it's well known, people who are up in the mountains in the summer times, that the mikvahs on Thursday nights are an absolute sheer disaster. Why is that? Because the husbands are usually away the whole week. They come up Thursday night. All the women from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday who didn't go to the mikvah, who were supposed to go to the mikvah, who refused to go to the mikvah because in their communities they don't like them to go to the mikvah until the husband's around, and they don't want the babies and the knives and all that stuff, so they actually pushed off and did not go to the mikvah Thursday night. What happens? You have four times the amount of traffic going to the mikvah the same night. The mikvahs in the mountains are generally not the greatest, best in shape mikvahs in the first place. And they're fairly small, and you have four nights worth of women in bungalow colonies and camps and all kind of stuff going to the same night. I haven't been in that part of the world a long time, but there are people who have told me that you can sometimes wait till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's the middle of the summer, so you can't even start to go till 9:30 at night, so you can wait to go to the mikvah till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning because of the backlog of traffic. Again, I can't tell you I have first-hand evidence of this, but I have been told this phenomenon. So again, those communities that follow this minimum, I can't stop them. But in terms of those who don't have this practice, there's no great mitzvah to adopt this practice. And those who follow the more misnagdish approaches to these kinds of kinds of things, so probably wouldn't be too concerned about this. I've told people time and time again. I remember once there was a Yaki who asked me the Shaila. He said, so he's going to be out of town. His wife was looking for the mikvah 3 days before. So I looked at him and said, you don't even say Brich Shmei. I said, you're like the Yakis. They don't do anything, which has anything to do with anything with that world. So I said, I said for you, you're asking the Shaila. I said, why do you want to go to the mikvah Tuesday night? And you come out Thursday night and try. Okay, those who have these practices, all the minig of us, those who don't have these practices, there's no great mitzvah to adopt these practices. And again, I wouldn't be such a big run to the people that have knives and that kind of stuff, whatever it is. Anyway, getting back to this story. So go go back to the Shulchan Aruch, Levana, page 34. So Shulchan Aruch told us that there's a mitzvah, whatever that Shalom Levatel Pervirivi is all about. What if you have a situation where the couple is not that they're out of town, she's out of town. They're not planning on having any more children, right? At least right now. How do we know they're not planning? She's on birth control. Now again, whether she should or should not be on birth control is a whole other story, but assuming that she has the proper psach to be on birth control, so the Maisa, she's going to be on birth control right now. So she's not going to have any children tonight anyway. So let's say the couples, they're both in town, and they decide together that it's not so convenient for her to go to the mikvah tonight. She has a chassid at a family wedding till it'll be 2 o'clock in the morning, till she gets back. It's going to be a big hassle. So there's a couple have a right to forego going to the mikvah. They'll both say they're not interested. She can wait till tomorrow. It's easier for everybody to wait till tomorrow night. So the post can point out that if they're trying to have children, so then they really, really should not take that attitude. They should try, mom, should bend over back. Yeah, if it's impossible, it's impossible. What are you going to do? You can't get the mikvah. You can't get the mikvah. If she has her sister's getting married out of town, there's no mikvah, what are you going to do? You can't go. But if it's possible to go to the mikvah, why don't you really, really bend over backwards, try as hard as possible to go to the mikvah if it's going to potentially facilitate pure virivia. But if it's not going to facilitate pure virivia anyway, because she's on birth control, she's probably not going to get pregnant anyway, so then this din Shulchan Aruch doesn't apply. So then the post can say, there's still bits of ona, but ona, she can be mochelos at ona. So he can be mochel, she can be mochel. So let's say he says to her, listen, I know it's very, very hard for you to go to the mikvah tonight. We're not having children tonight anyway. You're on birth control. So I'm about there. I'm mochel. You don't have to go to the mikvah tonight. And she turns around. She doesn't have to literally, say the speech. She says, listen, I'd like to go, but it's just not practical. You know, I'm mochel, I'm chosim, you're mochel, and you're chosim, finish. So the boss can say, okay, so if they both want to be mochel, they can be mochel. We don't encourage this. The boss can say, we don't like this because it's not a good idea for the woman to be Asura, not because of your tumor issues, because it's setting up potential mitzvah. You know, it's just not a good idea. So if and when she can go, she should bend over backwards, spend the extra time, whatever it is, and try to go to the mikvah. It really, really becomes very, very difficult, and both parties want to be involved there, so then they have a right to do so, because we paskin that's not really a mitzvah, because we paskin that's really just because of purity. So it's based on this that the Ramah continues. At the bottom of page 34, Shabbos. So the Ramah writes that a woman is permitted to be toveles on Friday night. If she wasn't able to be toveles before, so the Ramah puts a whole series of different psalkim from some of the Ashkenazi poskim who begin to chisel away a tefillah on Friday night based on this idea. That if you would ask it that tefillah is not a mitzvah, then I don't care what night of the year it is. You have to be tovelis and finish Friday night, the other night, nothing matters. But if tefillah b'zman is not so critical anyway, not so important anyway, and you can theoretically push it off, so we have to reevaluate the whole question about going to the mikvah on Friday night. What's so terrible? Why should we even revisit this question? Why shouldn't she go on Friday night? So this is a throwback. We spoke about this in shul in the past. This is a throwback to a sugya that appears in the second parak of Maseches Beitza. The Mishnah says the Beitza that you're not allowed to toivel kelim. We just spoke about this recently. Did basically spoke about it. It came up.
It came up as tikkun kli, right? As on yontif.
We spoke about it on Pesach. It was
Pesach.
Okay, I know what to talk about it. I don't remember what context we spoke about. So the Mishnah says in Maseches Beitza that you're not allowed to toivel kelim on Shabbos and yontif. The truth is that the Mishnah is not talking about what we call tefillas kelim. It's not about tefillas kelim for Tumah V'Tahara purposes, which we don't even do because no Tumah kelim will come here. Nobody really cares anymore. We don't have Tumah, Maaseh Sheni, etc. But many of the Mishnah extend this to add tefillas kelim as well. So the Maaseh, you're not allowed to talk about kelim with Shabbos and Yom. So the Gemara gives four different reasons why you're not allowed to do tefillas kelim. So one of the reasons is because it's Nirukim Misakin. It looks like you're fixing. It looks like you're touching something else. It's like you're fixing something. So it gives off the impression of Machmer Patish. If I would screw in the leg of a table, that would be an Isser of Machmer Patish from the Torah. If I take a pot that wasn't toivled and I put it into the mikvah, I'm fixing it, now I can use it. It used to be I couldn't use it, now I could use it. That's Machmer Patish on a level of the Rabbanim. So the Gemara asks the question, if so, how could a person ever be toivled? Isn't that also Machmer Patish? So the Gemara says, no, that doesn't look so bad. Because the person looks like you're taking a dip, looks like you're swimming, looks like you're just cooling off a little bit, and take a little dip into the cold pool of water. So that's okay, technically, on Yom Tov. So therefore, it doesn't look so bad. So when you take your pie, take your silver, take your kibbutz cup and put it into the mikvah, that looks very bad. You put yourself into the mikvah, it doesn't look so bad, nirkin maker. So the Rishonim raised the question, does that really make any sense if you live in a community, live in a culture, live in a society where nobody in their right mind would ever be nirkin maker in the middle of January? It's so cold. So the Gemara raises this question, right? The Gemara says, what if it's cold outside? Even if it's cold, people still once in a while will go and dip themselves to clean themselves, even if you will take a shaman. So come a group of Ashkenazi shaman saying, the Gemara says it's reality. You would sometimes dip even on a cold day. That's an Eretz Yisrael dip a cold day. That's a bubble cold day. But the Amorim never lived in Lithuania, never lived in northern Poland. It's a cold day. That's a cold day. I remember. My grandma left shows a description of the weather in Poland where she grew up. So she said basically it was snow from Sukkot to Pesach with snow. We're fetching about the snow. I used to always laugh, oh come on, never snows on Pesach. Until this year. So I think I remember snow on Erev Pesach. That I remember as a teenager, that I remember. But Henry, do you ever remember?
I know people
that stuff. I remember that stuff. I remember 82, I think. Pesach 82. But does anyone remember a snow on Pesach itself? That was till this year. That was the chiddush. That was the chiddush made this year. Did it snow?
First day. I remember.
First day.
It was the chumah. It snowed like 3-4 inches.
Right? It was a lot.
5 inches. Yeah. That was the chiddush made this year. So my grandma told me that was my simcha every year. It snowed on Pesach. Big deal. So the Aruch HaShulchan has a whole discussion about on Sukkot where the snow passes the schachana. It's not very cold. So the Rishonim ask Akasha, we who live in these freezing cold climates, in the middle of January, we're sugar, who in the world would ever go and take a dip outside in a freezing cold pond, crack the ice and go, it's crazy. So maybe we should reevaluate the question of the Gemara. Maybe we should say that you're not allowed to toivel on Shabbos, this man has that. So there were some Rishonim who said, you're right, we have to reevaluate the question and conclude that it's also with the Rabbanan because it looks like you're fixing things. We can't hide behind taking a dip anymore, and therefore it's off limits. You're not allowed to have it on Friday night or on Yom Tov night. That's the dip. And most of the other Rishonim said, no, that Eman Lachadish Gezeris, we're not Mechuyav to make new Isurim. If Chazal never instituted a prohibition against Tevila on Friday night, even though the reason why they didn't doesn't really apply as much as that, we live in such cold climate, doesn't matter. That Eman Lachadish Gezeris. So we paskin like the second opinion. We paskin that women are allowed to go to the mikvah on Friday night, even if it's freezing cold outside. It's okay. Even though we can never ever explain anything about Nira Kamaker, it doesn't matter. They can go to the freezing cold mikvahs, the ice cold lakes, they go, whatever they have to do to go to the mikvah, they're allowed to do. And we hold that the issa doesn't apply. But since there was some Rishonim who disagreed, so there are more quotes, a practice that existed in many communities in Eastern Europe, that we let women go to the mikvah on Friday night when we have absolutely no choice. When there's no other option, there's no other option. So the Rambam says, it means if the husband's in town, so then we let them go to the mikvah on Friday. What if the husband's not in town anyway? The husband's not coming back until Tuesday night anyway. And she pops into the mikvah Friday night. Why should she want to go Friday night? It's quiet Friday night. Less people are going, the kids went to sleep. She wants to go to the mikvah on Friday night. Because the Rambam says, no, that we're not going to let you do. Why? Because there's no big tzarech. What's that? If your husband's in town, so never, we have to look the other way and say, all right, we should have really asked to go into the mikvah for a night. There's really no svar near a community anymore. It's really also, we live in freezing cold communities. It doesn't look like you're going for a dip. So we really, really should have come hard down on you and not let you go to the mikvah. But never, we want you to have children. We want you to be with your husband. We're not going to send you away from the mikvah. If you're coming, you're popping in on Friday night, come back on Sunday, come back on Monday, come back that's Thursday when your husband comes back. Well, you have to run to the mikvah Friday night. So the Rambam writes that we don't like women to go to the mikvah Friday night unless they have to. And then the Rambam writes at the bottom of page 34, what if she could have gone to the mikvah earlier? She could have gone on Tuesday night, could have gone where, but she didn't. Why? What if she theoretically could have gone earlier in the week and she didn't because it was too cold for her, she just had a baby, the husband went away. So then we shouldn't let her go to the mikvah Friday night either. Why? Even though now the husband's here. And now there's a justified reason to go to the mikvah, but she should have done it earlier. So the Rambam says that we're only going to let the woman go to the mikvah Friday night if it's absolutely necessary, and we couldn't have avoided it. If we could have avoided it, then we were obligated to avoid it. So there are some communities, the Rambam writes, top page 25, and there are some places that have this custom in Eastern Europe, that women, when they came to the mikvah Friday night, we would ask them two questions. Number one, is your husband home? And number two, could you have been ill last night? If the answer to the question number one is no, question number two is yes, so then we will not let it go to the mikvah Friday.
You know, that's baseline.
It's a very great formula, right? It means we're trying to avoid mikvah Friday. I mean, the mindset is mikvah Friday is a shasacha. It's when all else fails, then we let it go to
the
mikvah.
So the Ramah uproots the Chaver's first sentence.
Right.
Because it goes back to what we're discussing. She has no chiyum mitzvah, so he could be mevatel. If she had the chiyum mitzvah, the Ramah could say that we say, because she could have done it yesterday, we penalize
her. So the idea, I don't know so much as a penalty, the idea is that the Ramah is taking into strong consideration those opinions that we don't like women to go for a night. That there's a real halachic issue with the women going to the Friday night, so we're trying to avoid it.
Only because there's no.
So that's what the Ramah said, because there's no compelling reason to do it.
There's no mitzvah to her.
Right. Not that I wouldn't say to her. I'd say that whatever the reason is compelling, then we sanction it. Whatever the reason is not so compelling, then we don't. So if the husband's not in town, there's no compelling reason. Even if the husband isn't down, it's so compelling you should have gone last night. So why didn't you go last night? So you should have gone last night. Now you want to come.
It's almost like shaving and, you know, cutting your nails every
day. Yeah. Something like that.
What if her night to go was Friday night, and then we have that thing that maybe the husband will end up coming home early or something like that. You understand?
Yeah.
She should be ready for him.
Okay, but if Lamais, if her night is to go Friday night, then the Rama says then for sure she should go.
If he's out of town, so cool.
No, he's not coming in home Friday night in the middle of the night.
No, he could come home after Shabbos Saturday, you know, maybe he was only 4 hours away and come back Saturday night.
So that should go for Saturday night, right? If he's not
there. There's no phone maybe to tell him I'm on my way, you know.
But the bottom line is Friday night, it's 10 o'clock at night, and husband hasn't shown up yet. He should not be showing up on Friday night. So if he's coming, if he's not there, so then assume he's not there for another 24 hours.
Also, you made a statement before, like, because they used to go to the, and there's nothing wrong with taking a dip on Yom Tov, so therefore let her go on Friday night. But on Shabbos, are you allowed to weigh your whole body?
So but Iker did, if it's cold water, you're allowed to. We have a minig that we don't like people to shower in cold water on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's a minig because of all the different issues that come up with showering, with soap and squeezing, and all the different potential concerns. But Iker did, you're allowed to take a cold shower on Shabbos. We don't do it unless it's extenuating circumstance, but Iker did, it's okay. So the Ramah writes at the top of page 25 of a Makom She'ein Minagin Mahachmir. The Ramah writes that we're not obligated to accept this minhag. You don't have to make up this minhag. You start a new community, you don't have to accept this minhag. If the minhag exists for generations, then you continue it. If not, not. To the best of my knowledge, in America, this minhag does not exist in any shape or form. No mikvah to ask a woman on Friday night, by the way, were you supposed to be here last night? And if you were, we're sending you away. We don't do such things. So that minhag did not make it out of Europe. And the Ramah's day, such a minhag existed in some communities. Again, the Ramah's not advocating the minhag. He's not supporting the minhag. He's saying the minhag exists, so don't abolish it, because it makes a little bit of sense. But then he throws another minhag at us. The Makom Shnogel Hachmir, Gab Mutzah Shabbos Lo Titvo, the Miachash Oy Epshal Litvo Kumachin Emachin Natvil Menachafif. He says, well, a whole nother story. The Ramah writes that, let's say this woman is supposed to go to Mikvah Thursday night, and she duly doubts she didn't go to the Mikvah Thursday night. She comes Friday night, here I am, the Mikvah lady says, weren't you supposed to be here last night? Says, yep, send her away. Again, if you have this minute. She comes back with Motzei Shabbos. So the Mikvah lady sends her away again. What's wrong with Motzei Shabbos? Going to the Mikvah Motzei Shabbos is always a leniency. Why? Because you have to do a chafifa. We didn't even talk about chafifa. Chafifa is the preparation, the combing the hair, and the showering. It's usually supposed to be done right before you go to the mikvah. And with the Shabbos, that's a little bit of a problem. You do a little bit Friday. With the Shabbos, we'll talk about this later on. Every time you go to the mikvah, with the Shabbos, you always have to be a little lenient about how and when the chafifa is being done. So if the Leil Tefillah is Motzei Shabbos, what do you do? Supposed to go to the mikvah, finish. So she has to go. But if she's not even supposed to go now, she was supposed to go Thursday night, and she derated, didn't go. And then she came Friday night, we don't let her. Now she's 2 days late for going to the mikvah. So then we say, you know what? You should have gone 2 days ago. Guess what? Wait till Sunday night until you go. So it's going to cost a double kanas, so to speak. So this is a good encouragement when she goes to the mikvah time. If she has to go Thursday night, we don't want to hear any excuses. You can't do this. Don't feel that. Unless there's something, you know, earth-shattering, unbelievable, justified reason, she's supposed to go to the mikvah at the right time. If you have this minhag that she doesn't go Thursday night, she doesn't go Friday night, so Shabbos, so observe this minhag. So in our communities, we don't have this minhag either. No mikvahs ask these kashas anymore. A woman pops, comes into the mikvah, the only thing they ask her is, did you finish your vidikiyah, did you do your vidikas, you know, you cleaned, you did the chafifah, that's the only thing they ask. They don't give her, you know, third degree, should you have been there Thursday night and you didn't show up, and why didn't you show up, and you sit to get mad, you could have come, She shows up Friday night, she goes to Mikvah Friday night, shows up Motzei Shabbos, she goes to Mikvah Motzei Shabbos. But in Eastern Europe, they had, in some communities, they had these customs. Again, the Rambam's not saying you have to adopt these customs, he's just saying if they exist, don't keep them in place. But again, in our communities, by and large, these minhagim don't exist anymore. Okay.